This morning's reading is from John chapter 20, 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Inspire us today. May my words be your words, and that those that are not of you, may they fall away. May you speak to each one of us in a different way, an appropriate way, as you always do, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So hello, my name's Steve, another Steve. That's about three I've counted already. What does a nickname or a pet name mean to you? They're very popular in sport, aren't they? Stokesy and Rooty. Or if you read the Narnia stories, people get names. Peter the Magnificent or Lucy the Valiant. Or other people are just known by one name, depending on your age, which of these you might go with. Fonzie. Or Trigger. Oh, there's the Trigger. Or Meatloaf. Or, for the even younger, 50 Cent. Sometimes nicknames or attachment to names can be amusing or affirming. Sometimes people are given names, maybe you did this with your own children or you know people who did, for particular reasons. I know a baby who's about 5 months old now called Eliana, which means God has given. I think I've got that translation right. Sometimes, of course, names can be harmful or even cruel. I asked a couple of non-Christian friends I was visiting, just for a free cup of tea in the week, if they could name anyone from the Bible that was known just by one name, what would they say? What names are in use today, apart from Jesus? And they said, Judas. And I thought, well, yes, that's good. Because Judas is often given to... Bob Dylan was called Judas by someone in the crowd in the 1960s when he came out for the second half with an electric guitar. Sometimes Judas is given to people who have changed their football club or something similar, and they call Judas for being a bit of a traitor. The other one they said was, Doubting Thomas. And as Steve mentioned earlier, to some extent, Thomas is only known for that. But But he's also known for other things, as we'll see. So today's gospel reading is about the risen Jesus appearing in earnest to his disciples. It's perhaps a familiar reading for many or most or even all of you. But it's about the disciples coming to know more when, as Steve said earlier, they're a bit confused at best. This passage today features two of what I researched, brackets Google, but what I researched are 12 recorded appearances of the risen Jesus, appearing to over 500 people after the resurrection. It made me think about the meaning of faith, the role of doubt, and crucially the significance of the resurrection for our lives, not just in that passage. Sometimes we talk about the mystery of faith. In the communion service, we say, great is the mystery of faith, 10 words. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. But it isn't a mystery once Jesus has revealed it to us via the cross and via the resurrection. I heard Bishop Donald in this very building give what I thought was an excellent sermon unpacking that and explaining that. There's an old hymn that has the phrase ineffably sublime in one of its verses. I love that word, ineffable. It's just so awesome. It's beyond simple description in words. So we've got Thomas. He's the most skeptical. We'll come back to him in a minute. But let's look first at verses 19 to 23. Imagine yourself in the room on the first day of the week. I know it's difficult to some extent. I don't mean it sound trite, but can you imagine what it must have been like? The disciples are gathered together. What's the atmosphere in that room? They're overwhelmed. They're in despair. They're afraid. They're confused. And then Jesus came and stood amongst them in verse 19. It's not a ta-da moment. It's an interaction of the risen Jesus with his closest 10 people. Thomas isn't there. Judas, that's another story. And he speaks to them, peace be with you. It's a very powerful message, again, in just 4 words. It's a sense of reassurance, and it's a message of forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus brings peace to them. Jesus brings peace to us. Peace goes a long way, when it's the peace of Jesus, towards replacing fear with belief, replacing fear with faith, replacing fear with sure and certain hope. Today we can recognize Jesus as the source of true peace in our lives. And then he illustrated the wounds of the crucifixion in verse 20. And then I left the understatement. They were overjoyed. Well, it must have been just so awesome for them to realize that the risen Jesus was there. And he breathes on them. He gives them the Holy Spirit, as it says in the text. And the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is really important to us today as well. The Holy Spirit is sent to live in us. Yes, it's a reminder of Jesus' death and resurrection. But through the Holy Spirit, we're able to channel our faith, ask for his guidance in time of need. And the Holy Spirit equips us to worship God, equips us to do the work of God, and again, crucially, to do that in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is important in the life of the church and in offering the power of forgiveness in the Christian community and beyond. And we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, at least I hope we do. Pray without ceasing, it says elsewhere in the Bible. We pray at all times, in all places, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, for him to guide us and move us on in our discipleship journey, and to remind us to do all things in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. The Holy Spirit will help us do that. In John 14, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit does that for us. And as Paul notes, I can do all things through him who gives me strength in Philippians. We can do all things through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who gives us strength as long as we're acting in his name in accordance with his will. So part two is back to Thomas. Even when the other disciples in verse 25 said, we have seen the Lord, he didn't believe. He will only believe if he sees Jesus again with his own eyes and feels the wounds, as it says in verse 26. Now, you've probably, maybe you've heard it said about doubt. Doubt isn't the enemy of the gospel. Doubt is faith in two minds. Doubt can be very useful and very powerful. I remember early in my teaching career, I was involved in taking a group to, I don't know what it's called now, but the Frontier Centre, Rock UK in Earthingborough. Is it still there? I'm not quite sure. And one of the activities, abseiling. Keen teacher, terrified of heights, that's me. And I'm thinking, well, I can't not do it in front of these youngsters. So I thought the answer is I'll do it first and get it out of the way. But I confess to you now, as I stood on the edge of going down what was basically only a wooden tower, it wasn't a real mountain or anything, I was in two minds. I doubted what to do. Should I step back, at least I'd be safe, or should I carry on? So doubt is faith in two minds. It can help us move on if it's in proportion and it comes at the right time and in the right place. Somebody else said, doubt is faith asking questions. Thomas's doubt in verse 25, I don't think it's opposition to the gospel. It's part of a genuine quest for the truth. It's part of the discipleship of adventure of following Jesus that we have today. Of course, before that moment, Thomas is seen elsewhere in John's gospel to be loyal, determined, courageous, even if following Jesus might lead to death. He's also prepared to ask questions, such as trying to unpick what Jesus means when he says he'll be leaving them. But here we have Thomas after the cross and the resurrection. He wasn't there the previous time. We don't know. I don't know what he did for a living, but maybe he just went back to his regular day job and thought, oh, right. Today's verse is the climax for Thomas of his interaction with Jesus, with the risen Jesus. Thomas was an ordinary person, all his own human fears and doubts. Even as a close associate and believer in Christ himself, he still had significant doubts that the risen Jesus was indeed risen. Can you ever see yourself as Thomas? I'm not ashamed to admit that sometimes I can and I do. Because Thomas is a symbol of each and every one of us in many ways. I think we all carry something of the DNA of Thomas. But what's vital in this passage, I think, is that Jesus knew what Thomas needed. Jesus met Thomas at his exact point of need and guided him onward in his faith. In our lives, Jesus understands our struggles, meets us where we are, and strengthens us on our faith journey. If we're in a similar position, doubts are creeping in, concerns over things, uncertainties. We can be honest with God about our feelings and questions. Crying out to God is natural. Happens a lot of times in the Psalms, for instance, doesn't it? We can talk and pray with each other. We can seek reassurance in God's word. Of course, we can pray direct to God. And we can invite the Holy Spirit to move us on and move us forward to take away our fear. So while it's easy to criticise Thomas for doubting, and just stick with doubting Thomas, it's important to realise that he was real. He stuck in there. This was a week later. It was today, if you like, in our calendar. This event happened the week later from the original encounter with the 10 disciples. Jesus stuck in there with those who already did believe. And what happened? Oh, I imagine him falling to the ground in just awestruck wonder. My Lord and my God. We can do that time and time again when we're struck by God in awesome wonder. We can exclaim and re-exclaim, my Lord and my God. And let's not forget the end of the passage where John gives his intention, gives his reason for writing the gospel. So in verse 31, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Reflecting on that purpose can inspire us to deepen our faith and share the good news with others. So if you would pray with me as I finish. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your gift of peace, your gift of forgiveness, and your gift of the Holy Spirit. Guide us through moments of doubt and strengthen our faith as your resurrection people. Grant us the grace to trust in you, even when sometimes we can't see or understand your plan. Inspire us to deepen our faith in you as the Messiah and the Son of God. So may we live in the hope of eternal life and share the good news with others so that they too may come to believe and have life in your name. Amen.